My great, wonderful things are happening. You know, preachers, they make a fuss over the Lord. They talk about the Lord and the greatness of God. And a lot of people, you know, they don't understand. They just kind of feel like the preacher's doing that to stir up the congregation and keep his congregation, keep his paycheck coming, you know. And sad to say that in some cases that is true. But when you really come to the place where the great apostle Paul was, and you see that beautiful, wonderful thing that Paul saw, then when you come to that place, you don't make a fuss just to keep your congregation. It's real genuine. I mean, it's real genuine. So wonderful. So wonderful. I thank the Lord for His blessings and for His greatness, for the wonderful greatness of God and for His power. For now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, even that in the heavenly places. Even under the power, the glories and the principalities and palaces in that great, wonderful world of glory. For we beholding as with open face in a glass the glory of God, we are changed from glory to glory into His glorious image as in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. For God has revealed unto us the wonderful knowledge of the glory of that wonderful, wonderful understanding of Almighty God. He has made known to us the understanding. He has given to us that wonderful knowledge and has given unto us the light of the knowledge of the glory of the Son of God. And maybe all that don't mean a whole lot to you, but every word of that means something to me. Every word of it is so great and so mighty as to what He says concerning the light of the knowledge of that glory. How beautiful, how wonderful, how great, how mighty. This is what caused Enoch to be translated and taken away into another world. And this is what caused Elijah to be carried away into another world. And we're back tonight to learn some more about it. Hot, miserable, uncomfortable, you know. But still, if we're hungry, if we're thirsty, we'd be willing to fast, we'd be willing to pray, we'd be willing to suffer. Men, great and mighty men of God, have suffered untold misery just to get a little of what you've got. I mean, they have suffered untold misery. Men and women have suffered pain, an excruciating thing such as you never dreamed of, just to get a little bit of this light. And here we are with this wonderful knowledge of the light of His glory. And it just thrills me so. I ride up the road. I'm so thrilled. I get it home by myself today when Sister Betty was talking with her sister, fisting with her mother. Gave me a chance to be able to get away and talk with the Lord Jesus after we got back today. And just so thrilling and it's so exciting. You know, even with the manifold heaviness the Bible speaks of the problems of the human body. Paul said, while as we're in this body, we groan, not that we should be unclothed, but rather clothed upon with our house from heaven. And we groan, you know, and we have a desire because of the manifold heaviness of the inflicted things that Satan can bring about as to the human person while we're tabernacling in this little body. But he said, even though all of these precious come, all of these things comes, he said, folks, we're still confident while we're in this little house. Though we be absent from God, knowing that the body must be changed, he said we're still confident. Confident, I say, that we don't worry about nothing. He said, whatever comes works to our good. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And those that are the called according to his purpose. And so he said, we're still fully confident as we tabernacle in this little house. It doesn't make any difference. We're still confident. Everything is fine. Everything is wonderful. Everything is glorious. Everything is so wonderful. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. If it's wonderful in your house, say hallelujah. Glory to God. It's wonderful in my house. We ain't got all the bugs and the gnats and the mosquitoes. We done fasten all them things out. And it's a happy, happy day like the Lord gave me. Have a good day. You know, he gave me a song. Have a good day. And I have a good day. I have a good day. I thank God because I have a good day. Pressures and problems and fears and worries and anxieties. Fighting and conflict on every side, Paul said, and in peril of your own fellow men, of false brethren and everything else. But nevertheless, through Jesus, I have a good day. I have a good day. I want to read just a little bit from the book of Kings, if you can kind of settle down a little bit to the heat. You know, just settle down and say, glory to God, I'm going to hear the word of God. I'm going to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. It don't matter to me if this old body melts down like a candle. I'm going to enjoy the glory of God. I really mean that. It don't bother me. If this body melts down like a candle, I don't care. I'm going to enjoy Jesus. You know, I've been in problems around the different parts of the world and the different parts of the nations. And I've been in severe weather. I've been in storms. I've been in all kinds of problems, been in persecutions. Paul said hungry, need, whatever. But you know, a purpose of my heart to be contented in whatsoever state I find myself. And if it's hot, and the devil says, it's hot, boy, it's uncomfortable, mine's hot, I just say, praise God, just turn on the water, Lord, let the sweat come, I'll melt down like a candle. I'm just going to relax and enjoy Jesus. Hallelujah. And I've done it. I sit there in hot countries and hot places until it looked like I would literally melt and my strength would run slap out my feet. I sat there, would not hardly have an ounce of strength. I said, glory to God, sweat it out, melt it down. I'm still going to enjoy Jesus. And you know, that makes the devil so mad, he can't hardly stand it when you do that. He just wants to pick you up and shake you, you know, because he can't get you to respond to his pressure. Well, I thank the Lord. You know, I praise God. Glad to see our brother coming in from Conyers, seeing the family. Appreciate our brother so very much. I believe he loves the Lord. I believe his little family really wants to go on with the Lord Jesus. Glad to have you here. We appreciate you so much. Bob and Jerry, me and Gary and families, we had some real good fellowship today talking about Jesus. Bob is really getting interested in the spiritual things of God. And that's so wonderful. You know, you better stop and think, because a lot of times, while some are backing off and losing interest in the things of God, the others are just shoving and pushing and crowding and coming on in. It's that time when stars shall fall from heaven. How do you remember the Bible spoke of the latter times when some would fall? And see, it's that time when stars are falling from heaven now. There's three heavens. There's the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. And in every one of them heavens, stars is falling from heaven. Remember that. Stars is falling from heaven. See, because all of them are not real, genuine stars. I spoke of this morning of the waster that God created to destroy and spoke of him as being a reflector, and all those other stars are reflectors. It's not possible for a real star to fall from heaven in this lineup that Christ has. It's not possible. See, these things are there. The true stars are there, and they are like the day star. They're like the sun. God keeps them burning. And see, they are a blaze of fire, and they're burning, and they have the ability to keep themselves. But reflectors can't do that. Reflectors are held there by those stars. And in the event that the day star like the sun should go into a nova and back off like that, then that means it gets too far away, and that reflector, that wandering star, that reflector, it can't pick up the strength of that star anymore to hold it in orbit, and it just shoots like a rocket. Or if that star gets too close to that reflector, it heats it up and it just blows up and goes away. So it's so wonderful to be a real, genuine star. A lot of stars are falling from heaven. You see people that you never dream that they would do the things that they're doing. And you never dream that they would back off. So you thought for sure that they had it. But a lot of them don't. And we're moving right into the last days now. And God's just reaching out and he's pulling him real stars up tight. And these others, he's just letting them be loose and shake and just blow up everywhere. You know, they're just going to pieces. They're going every which way. But them real stars there, as the world says, they're hanging in there. They're locked in there. And they're not going anywhere. So then you need to examine yourself, find out whether you're a true star or not. The Bible speaks of the wandering stars. It says, of whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Those wandering stars, they're reserved forever. Now, you know, when we come to church at night, now in the morning it's different from the night service. When you come to church in the morning, you could just move right in and move into the spirit, because people have not been eaten, and the energy and the ego of the flesh is kind of down at a low ebb. And you can just, the Spirit of God can just move in and reach out and take people's spirits and bypass that old human body. And the glory of God can administer the grace to them, and the word of the Lord, the mouth of God, the mind of Christ. It can just minister and work, and great things take place. And then at night, we all come stuffed like a little pig, you know, and we've eaten, we're miserable, and we roll, and we grunt, and you know, and we come to church, and we're so full of the natural energy of God that we're locked up like we're in prison. And no matter what the preacher says, you know, he just can't get us spiritual, he can't budge nothing. We're good listeners, but it don't mean a thing. And usually God, he just kind of gets the preacher wound up and just lets him hack and beat and knock and bust and chop until he gets down in there to say something to you, to where he can preach you under conviction and bring a few sinners to the altar. But it's so much more wonderful if we could learn to press in and come into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and come into these places, you know, to just relax in the Lord and just open ourselves up in Christ. And just go right into the wonderful spiritual mind of God and be spiritual and get the lovely things of God. It's hard to be spiritual when you've got a full tummy. You know. So then a lot of times God would let the prophets of old do without food quite a number of days. Like Elijah, he let him do without food about 40 days so that when he got him over there in the wilderness, Elijah would be out of the way and that inner Christ could communicate with the Heavenly Father. And I know a lot of times when God's using me just by the day, in the morning he won't let me eat nothing as a rule. And he'll let me go on till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and he'll begin to speak to me and begin to administer to the different ones through me, through the mind of Christ. And then when he finishes, he'll remind me that I need to eat something. Like Paul on the ship, 14 days without any food. The Bible said no little tempest lay on them, and it was about 14 days there that they didn't eat anything. Paul didn't eat anything. The others, they didn't eat anything for about 14 days. And then finally, Paul, after abstaining from food for about 14 days, seeking the Lord, the angel of God came and stood close to Paul and said, "Paul, fear not, for I have given thee thy life, Paul." He said, no little tempest lay on them day and night for many days, and everything was dark, and they had to throw away all their food. And finally the angel said, "Fear not, Paul, I have given thee thy life, and I have given thee all that are with thee, as long as they abide in the ship." You know, and of course after Paul's communication with the angel, he stepped out on board and he said, "Fellas, you can eat." 14 days, he said, "You haven't eaten anything. You've continued with me in fasting." He said, "Now you can eat." He said, "Everything's going to be all right." He said, "The angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." The angel of God. He said, he stood before me this night and said it wouldn't be anything lost, that I didn't have anything to fear, and I believe that it will be exactly the way that he said. So just eat now, take courage, cheer up, everything's going to be all right. So it's wonderful to be a Christian, so wonderful to communicate with God, so wonderful to hear that voice, you know, and get beyond the veil to where you can communicate with God. That's so wonderful to be able to do it. I've done that many times. And I thank God for that wonderful opportunity. I want to read from the book of Kings, and if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me. It says in chapter 1, the second book of the Kings, "Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, Go inquire of Baalzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. The angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, Is it not because there is not a god in Israel that you go to inquire of Baalzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, Why are you now turned back? And they said unto him, There came a man up to meet us, and said unto us, Go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Baalzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, What manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, He was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, It is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill. And he spake unto them, Thou man of God, the king has said, Come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, Come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto him, If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah, and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, Go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Forasmuch as thou hast sent messengers to inquire Baalzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. So he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. And Joram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. For the Lord has sent me to Jericho. He said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. Behold, I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariots of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. One of the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him on that. They said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the spirit of the Lord have taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, ye shall not sin. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, sin. They sent therefore 50 men. And they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, did I not say unto you, go not? And the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant as my Lord seeth, but the water is naught and the ground barren. And he said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth into the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death of barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day according to the sayings of Elisha which he spake. And he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth 2 she-bears out of the wood and tare 42 children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. I want to say again, we appreciate you being here tonight. I thank the Lord for every one of you. I appreciate also again the things that Grace and the girls did today. I think they went out again over in the evening and gave out about 2,000 tracks, and I thank the Lord for that. One or two of the others, I think, went along with them on this trip. You know, there's one thing that is really outstanding in this text right here, and that is that Elisha never at any time left the man of God. Never. He stayed right there with him. Elijah kept saying, Elisha, you stop over here, or you stay over here. But he kept saying, no, no, as the Lord liveth, he said, you're not going to leave me anywhere. I'm going to be wherever you're at. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. You know, there's something about that that really thrills God when people do those kind of things, because this is the same thing that caused Ruth to inherit the great things that she did. See, Ruth, she refused to leave Naomi. The Bible teaches that the other daughter-in-law, Orpah, she didn't do that. Things got a little rough. They got down to the Jordan. She got to thinking about leaving the land of her kindred. And she just wouldn't do that. You know, it's the same way with the church. Watch people of today. When things get to going a little bit rough and somebody says, I thought this religion was something you shout about. You know, I thought all of this was joy and we was going to have a good time. And God was going to give us money and God was going to give us all kinds of things. And we're just going to have just a wonderful time. He said, but my, I've lost my car. You know, it looks like I'm losing my home. And I'm losing my prestige. And they're beginning to look on me, you know, as though I'm not one of these people out here, you know, that's with the upper echelon of life. And Orpah begins to get shaky. You know, people begin to get shaky. They say, well, I don't know about this thing now. Maybe it isn't just exactly the way I thought. Maybe I'm getting overboard. And maybe I'm getting a little bit ahead of God here. I'll just back off a little bit. You know, the Bible said, if you draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in you. And any man having put his hands to the plow, looking back into Egypt, is not fit for the kingdom of God. And so then they begin to draw back. That's the way Orpah did. But see, not Ruth. Ruth said, come what may, if we don't have nothing, Naomi, it doesn't matter how rough it gets, said, I'm your daughter-in-law. I'm going to stay with you. I've been with you all this time, and I'm going to stay with you. You need somebody, and I'm going to be right there with you. Isn't that beautiful? You know, right now, the absence of Jesus, the church needs a helping hand. They need somebody to stay with it. They need somebody that will deny themselves. They need somebody that's willing to just lay aside everything and say, God, I'm going to stand with you. Don't make no difference how hard it is or how rough it is. I'm going to stay with you, God, because I believe in this. And so then Ruth said, I'm staying with it. You know, this is so beautiful. Elisha said, it doesn't make any difference, Elijah. I'm going to be with you. Elijah said, stay over here, Elisha. He said, no, I'm going to be with you. Wherever you go, I'm going to be with you. There's something about that perseverance and that drive to stay with a thing that God really likes. You know, he wants us to stay with it. Betty and I, we've had some rough times down through our life. We've had some rough places to go over. And sometimes the parents would say, you shouldn't do that. And people would say, you shouldn't do that. But we said, it doesn't make any difference. God said it, I believe it, and we're going to stay with it. We're going to go wherever God said go. You know, if God said it, we're going to go that way. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, if it's old Maypop ties, if it's an old dilapidated car, if we don't have any money, if we don't have any friends, if we don't have anything, we know that God said, do this, and we're going to do it. Hallelujah. Right. To me, that's the way it's got to be done. So we stayed with it. We stayed with Jesus. And today, we're still trying to do the same thing, is to stay with Jesus. Stay with the church. Stay with the Word of God. Stay with the things of God. Enjoy the wonderful things of God. Hallelujah. So then, walking on with the Lord, doing these things, Ruth said, I'm with you, Naomi. Your people are going to be my people. And wherever you go, I'm going to go. And wherever you dwell, that's going to be my dwelling place. And Elijah said, Elijah, I ain't going to leave. I'm not going to leave. I'm going to be with you now. You just have to let me go. I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to leave. You're not going to shake me off. See, and this is so beautiful. The Lord, in so many cases, look how he entreated people. A woman come to him, and the woman said, oh God, do something for me. Pleaded for her daughter. And the Lord, he just sat there, you know, like he didn't care at all. And he said, well, he said, don't you know that the bread belongs to the children? And that it's not right to give the children's bread to the dogs? The woman, she didn't get upset. She didn't back off. She didn't quit. She just said, I know it, Lord. She said, but the dogs eat of the crumbs. And the Lord, that got him. He said, great is thy faith, woman. Said, all you've got to do is say whatever you want to and it's yours. Many times it's like that. You know, many times God speaks to different ones. All through the Bible, you can read of the different occasions where this thing happened. You know, where people pressed in, the little woman that touched the hem of his garment. You know, they kept saying, get away. Don't bother the master. Get on away from him. But she didn't pay any attention to it. She just kept pressing in. She kept saying, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I don't care what they say, you know. And after a while, she got close enough and she grabbed a hold of him, that garment. And about that time, the power of God hit. The Spirit of God began to move. Her faith went up to heaven and something took place in the heavenlies. And out with the mighty virtue of God and into her body it came. And she felt that wonderful, great exuberance and that power of healing. You know, and she was shook up. And the Bible said she felt within her body she was healed. And all of a sudden, Jesus just stopped in his tracks and turned around. And Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples said, what do you mean, Lord, who touched you? Why, there's people everywhere touching you. And Jesus said, not like this. Somebody touched me. And the little woman began to shake and tremble. And she come up there because she knew she couldn't be hid. And she said, Lord, it was me. And Jesus said, you know, go thy way, daughter. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You know, that's what's wrong with you folks. That's what's wrong with me. That's what's wrong with the church world today. The devil gives us a little bit of problems, you know, a little bit of hassle, and we back off. You know, though God has spoke to us in his word, though God has told us what we're to do in his word, he told us just exactly what to do in the word. But see, the devil gives us a little hassle, and we back off. And though the word says something to us, we say, well, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe it wasn't meant for me. Maybe that isn't the way it is. Maybe God didn't mean it for me. I guess I'm just one of them, you know. And then the devil, he just moves right in, becomes a middle wall of partition, pushes us away from our blessings, and there we stand helpless like a little child. But see, there's some people in the world today, God has got some in the world today, they won't do that. They'll move in and they'll say, no, God said it in his word, I believe it, and that's the way that it's going to be. The devil will say, well, you can't have it, you ain't good enough, you know this and you know that. They'll say, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care, Jesus said it, I still believe it, God, I believe it, I believe it, God, I believe it, no matter what, I believe it, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now that's the way Ruth done it. That's the way Ruth done it. If you've got that kind of spirit, if you've got that kind of drive, if you've got that kind of faith, God will do something for you, folks. But if you haven't got that, you can't have it. You can't have it. So then this is the way Elisha was. Oh, brother Elisha, he got down to the Jordan. And Elijah said, you better stay over here on this side now. He said, no, no. He said, you go over the Jordan, I'm going over the Jordan. And so then when Elijah went over the Jordan, Elisha went over. See, Elijah knew at last that he couldn't hide nothing. He knew he couldn't hide nothing. He just as if to say in his heart, you know, God, this is of you. This thing is of you. That fella, he's sticking to me like glue. You know, this has got to be of you, God. I can't shake him. I can't leave him. And he finally turned to him. He said, look, Elisha. He said, what do you want? And Elisha said, I sure want something. He said, what do you want? He said, go ahead and ask it of me. He said, I want a double portion of what you got. Elijah said, my, I said, that's a hard thing you're asking. He said, nevertheless, you know nothing too hard for God. He said, watch me. And if you see me when I go, then I'll know that's God. I know God has done that. And God will give me whatsoever I say. So I'm putting a little thing out here before you now, Elisha. If you see me when I go, you can have what you want. Just say what you want. He said, I want the double portion. And the Bible said they just kept walking along, you know. Probably singing and praising God. Hallelujah, glory to God. Amen. Oh, brother Elijah knew something was about to happen and his cup was just running over. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, Elisha, hallelujah. You know, just going along having a good time. And about that time, the Spirit of God began to move, and down came a fiery chariot. And the Bible said there came fiery prancing horses, and they came right down where they was at and just said, right in the middle of them like that, and just split them asunder. How do you see Calvary in that? See, the veil was rent in twain. Down came the wonderful power of God. There was Calvary, and the veil was rent in twain, and this here with the Christ and here with the Jesus. The Lord separated from the Christ. All of a sudden, the Christ came back.
This time it wasn't like Jesus. It wasn't with a single drive. It wasn't just with one potion. You know, Jesus down here in this world had one potion. And that potion was that he was the Son of God. He did have the power of the Spirit with him. But see, the body was made in the image of sin. And the body had never been redeemed. And even though he'd done great and mighty things, he said to you and I, greater things shall ye do because I go to the Father. Elisha, hold on now. Greater things is coming. And all of a sudden we see the rent veil, and we see Elisha pushed aside for the work in the earth, and we see Elijah going on. We see there the wonderful resurrection and the catching away. But we see Elisha, we see the Spirit of Christ, we see the office of Aaron. We see that thing coming back into the heart of mankind. See, the Bible said 50 of those sons of the prophets, they were standing there. But remember now, they wasn't on the side of Jordan where the thing took place. They just stayed on the other side of Jordan, and they just kind of looked over that way. See, that's like Pentecost, 50 of them. The Bible said they searched for numbers of days. They looked. See, the searching period that they had there showed that death, that burial, that resurrection. And so then the 50 of them that had to do with Pentecost, they kept searching and they kept looking. And Elisha told them, said, I told you he wasn't there. I told you he wasn't there. But see, when Elisha took that mantle, the Holy Ghost coming back, when he took that mantle, see, it showed that that was the Christ, the Holy Ghost, the power of God, the double potion in the hearts of mankind. The double potion working in the hearts of those sons of the prophets, the church. He got back to Jordan and he said to the Jordan, he said, row back, Jordan. And he threw that mantle over there and he said, where is the God of Elijah? And all of a sudden the God of Elijah appeared and the waters rolled back. Those things separated and he walked over, and the sons of the prophets, they fell down on their face and they said, oh my God, said the Spirit of Elijah rests upon Elisha. And they were just shook up and they said, oh my God, here comes this man. Now they didn't use that term, then maybe they did use that term. You know, the Bible doesn't record it like that. But I know that they were excited, they were tore up. It was a great season, a great moment. Here something was happening like never happened in the history of the world. And all of a sudden, this great prophet that had shut up the heavens, that opened the heaven, this great prophet that called fire down from heaven, these things that they had beheld. All of a sudden, here comes another prophet. And my, this prophet coming with a double potion. Here they'd seen a certain thing out of Elijah, and that was great and that was mighty in Elijah. But now here was a man walking the earth, and this man walking with a double potion. Can you imagine that? Elijah's great and mighty as he was. And all of a sudden here walks Elisha through the earth, the man of the double potion. Folks, we ought to be up and about our Father's business. Those sons of the prophets were burning with the fire of God. Here comes their head now. Here comes Christ into the church. Here comes the healing of the waters. Here comes the salt of the earth. Here comes the church. And the waters are going to be healed. People, John refers to them as waters, sickly, you know, not doing the will of God, death, everything barren, nothing bearing fruits unto perfection. But here comes the double potion, and he starts to walk through the land. The drought is no more. The power of God's moving. Things is taking place, and Elisha's walking through the land with a double potion. God is giving a double potion now. See how beautiful it is when God rends the veil. Paul said, we, as with open face, looking into the glass, we as open face, not the veiled face. He said, even today when Moses is preached, the veil is still over the face. He said, this was a ministration of glory. He said, but a glory of condemnation. And he said, this ministration was to be done away with because it was the ministration in stones. Hearts of stones in that day. Said this was scribed into the stones. He said, but if that ministration was glorious, so that the mountains shook with fire and the blaze of God came down upon that mountain, and Moses said, I did exceedingly shake in the presence of God. He said, if this is a glorious ministration, he said, folks, let me tell you something. He said, if that is of the condemnation. That is the veil. That is that which is to be done away with. How much more glorious, he said, is this wonderful glory of God of this latter thing that's coming. He said that glory was nothing. He said that ministration had no glory. He said in the light of the fact that this glory of God, this enlightenment, this great wonderful double portion that's coming, he said that had nothing compared with this. He said there was no glory to that. By reason of this great glory that excels beyond that. He said it doesn't have any glory. Can you imagine that? Glory to God, here walks Elijah, walking through the earth. Elijah the great, Elijah the mighty. Elijah speaks and things happen. And God says, here comes the double portion. He said, if you think that was something, he said that had no glory as to the glory that's about to shine now. He said, this great glory, if you think that's glorious as to the ministration of the Word of God in stones, he said, wait till you see Paul's revelation, the knowledge of God made known all the way up into the great heavenlies, to the principalities, to the powers, to the glory of that great world. He said, if you think that bad's something, he said, you just wait till this next move comes. So then wherever Moses is read, the veil is still over their face. But not with you and I. See, when we think about it, the veil isn't over in our face. But we, as with open face, the Bible said, we're looking into that glass. See, we're looking into that glass. What glass is that? The face of Jesus. See, we are seeing face to face, not through a glass darkly. See, we're not seeing through a glass darkly because the veil, the intellectual veil of that old tree of knowledge has been done away with. And here we are seeing face to face now. Remember, Moses didn't see nothing but the hind part. Moses said, God, let me see thy glory. He said, okay, Moses, I'll let you see my glory. He said, there's a hole over here in the rock. He said, get right up there in that hole. Hallelujah. He said, now, Moses, you're a great fella. Nobody's like my man Moses, faithful throughout all the earth. Said, get up there in that rock, Moses. I'm going to show you my glory. You want to see my glory? So I'll just put my hand on you now. Got to veil it. Got to veil it now. He said, I'm going to put my hand over you now. He said, my glory is going to pass by. Can you imagine that? There is a man looking at the glory of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Looking at the glory of God there in the rock, in the cleft of the rock. There he stood in the rock. God put his hands over him. And all of a sudden, here come that glory by. Think about that. The mountain shook. The Bible said it trembled. When the glory of God appeared, the mountain just shook. And it burned like fire. But here come the glory of God. See, the glory of God coming by. When the glory of God came by, Moses saw the glory of God. Paul, he comes along and Paul sees something. Paul said, you think that was the glory of God? He said, that within the veil, and you think that was the glory of God? He said, it was. He said, but you just ought to know something about what I've seen. Hallelujah. You just get caught up into the third heaven. You don't go in the cliff to the rock. He said, you just go where I've been and you'll see things that you can't even utter. He said, if you think that's glorious, he said that glory there was to be done away with. He said because there was a veil that had to be smitten there. He said, but this is the light of the glory of his unveiled face. And he said this glory, he said it reaches so great that it goes up into the heavenly places, to the principalities and palaces in the heavenly places. Way up into the glories of God, he said. He said in that glory of Moses, the veil that's over the face of them people. Every time they read Moses, every time they read the Old Testament, he said that veil is there. He said, but when you get in Christ, he said it's different. God said, Moses, I'll let you see my hind part. Think of it now. Moses, turn around and look toward Genesis. That is, there was no Genesis to Moses begin to write. Moses, don't look up ahead. Turn around and look back yonder way. Here, I got you on the mountain. Turn around and look yonder. I'm going to let you see my hind part. I'm going to let you see what I'm going to do, but I'm going to let you see what I've already done.
So Moses saw behind the part. He turned around. You know, he couldn't see his head. He couldn't see that great glory. He couldn't see that wonderful thing up ahead. But he turned around and he marveled as the great mountain burned with fire. He looked back and he saw Genesis and he saw the garden. You know, he wrote Genesis, which means beginning. He looked back at the beginning and God said, "What do you think about that, Moses?" "Oh, my God," Moses said. Moses said, "I tremble. Oh, my God. Look, there's Adam and Eve walking in the garden. There's the act of God. Let there be light." And there was light. And Moses saw that. All of these great, marvelous types and shadows and all these things. And God just as if to say, "What do you think about that, Moses?" "Oh, hallelujah," Moses could have said. I imagine Moses was shouting and dancing. If I'd have been there, I know, no telling what I'd have done. But he said, "What do you think about that, son?" "Oh, my God, look at that garden. Look at those beautiful things. Look at Adam and Eve back there. Look at all of those things that's taken place down through the years. You see my glory? Moses, do you see my glory? You see my hind part?" But, oh, brother, sister, I'm not looking at the hind part. I'm not. I look back at the garden, and I get some beautiful things out of the garden, and I enjoy seeing the hind part of God. But my God, when I look at Him, not as through a glass darkly, not as through the veil, I say, "Oh my God, oh my God." Many times in my room, I lay down and I say, oh my God, this is so great. This is so marvelous. This is so wonderful, God. And I lay down and I think, my God, if I could just tell the church, if I could just speak to the church, if I could just tell them the glorious things that I see. I think, oh my God, my heart is burning like fire on the inside just to tell them these wonderful things that I see. You know, then I come out and I see veiled faces and I see people that are not spiritual. I see people that's not interested in going on in the things of God. People that's eating and drinking and fighting and fussing and feuding and trying to buy and trying to get gain and trying to manipulate and all these other things and just overrun with the things of the world. And I think, oh God, there ain't no way. There ain't no way, God, how am I ever going to do it? But see, Jesus can do it. Jesus knows how. He knows how. He knows the way through the wilderness. All you have to do is follow. So then God said, "I'll let you see something now." And the Spirit of the Lord spoke out and said, "And I shall show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not." And Jesus said, "Many great and mighty men have desired to see those things that you see." Moses, Abraham, and the great men of old, Elijah, they desired to see those things that you see, but they never saw them. They never saw them. So then God says, "A double potion. Here is Elisha, the double potion, walking through the earth, the great and mighty man of God." Somebody would say, "You mean greater than Elijah, Brother Pike?" Do we believe the Bible? Do we believe the Bible? Didn't Elisha say, "I want a double potion"? What is a double potion? Instead of the spirit that's upon you, Elijah. You're great and you're mighty, and that potion is great and mighty. But said, "I'd like to have twice as much as you got. I want a double potion." And here comes the man of God walking through the earth with a double potion. Think about that. Elisha the Tishbite, great and mighty to the extent he could call fire down from heaven. But now a man was walking through the earth that was just as twice as powerful. Oh, no. Somebody said, "Not that, Brother Pike." Well, he didn't get a double potion then. Wouldn't a double potion, if you had $1,000 and somebody gave you another $1,000, wouldn't that make you just twice as rich as the man that had $1,000? So then the man of the double potion walked through the earth, twice as powerful as Elijah, walking through the earth. And there was the great and the mighty Elisha. With that mantle and with that power, with that knowledge of God, just speaking the word. And all of a sudden, God wanted to prove it to him, and he wanted him to know that the man of the double potion was there. And all of a sudden, some little children, they come out and said, "Go up, bald head, go up, bald head." And Elisha just turned around. And I'm sure he didn't try to kill them. I'm sure he didn't try to destroy them. He just didn't bless them.
You know, the man of God can bless you, he can curse you. He just didn't bless them. He turned around and he kind of scorned them, as we would say, because they aggravated him. They just kept on saying, "Go up, bald head, go up, bald head." A whole slew of them running around after him, you know. They was kind of mocking. And all of a sudden, he just turned around and he kind of scorned them. Or the Bible uses the terms, cursed them. You know, the name of the Lord. And the Bible said all of a sudden, two she-bears come out of the woods. Them things just come out of the woods. Don't know where they come from. But they just come out of the woods. And the Bible said they tear 40 and two children. See, and everybody around there knew that that was God's prophet. Everybody knew that that was that great, mighty Elisha walking through the earth, the great, powerful man. Think about that now. Here's a little old man over here somewhere. He's following 12 yoke of oxen. He's over here with a plow. He don't even know, hardly know God and know the power of God. He don't know nothing. He's over there, and here comes the great prophet of God, Elijah, coming through the land. Now, all of a sudden, Elijah walks through the land. Elijah comes through the land. See, and here is Elisha over here plowing in a field. And all of a sudden, Elijah, he just kind of goes by and brushes him. And the man turns around and looks. And he knows that's the mighty Elijah. And so he turns around. And Elijah said, "What have I done to you?" "Oh, you done something to me. I don't know what you done," he could have said, "but you done something to me. When you brushed me, I ain't the same. I won't never be the same anymore." He said, "I've got to be with you. I want to be with you wherever you go. There's something about it that draws me. It entices me. It makes me want to walk with you. I'm going with you wherever you go. I'm going. I'm going to burn this plow stock. I'm going to kill this oxen. I'm going to offer a sacrifice to God. I'm going to say goodbye to mom and daddy, and I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Brother, when this thing gets a hold of you, you'll burn your plow stock and you won't look back into Egypt and you'll say goodbye to mom and dad and you'll be on your way when God gets a hold of you. When God came by and he brushed me, I said, oh my God, I'll never be the same anymore. I'll never be the same anymore. I told Sister Betty we'd have to burn the plow stock. I said, we'll have to get rid of all that we've got. I said, God has called me to the ministry. There's nothing that I can do but go. And on my way, I went to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today I'm still doing the same thing. Still hollering at folks. So then here is Elisha. Hallelujah. Just loving it. Just loving it. Here is Elisha. The double potion. Coming back, the 50, Pentecost, the veil's been rent. The veil's been taken off. See, not a single potion anymore. Not the reading of Moses anymore. But here's a double potion. See, bodily redemption. Folks, we're living in the day of bodily redemption. We're living in that time of the manifestation of the sons of God. We're living in that moment when we need to be moving for God, when we need to be doing something for God. Not sitting around just doing nothing, but we need to be moving for God. We need to be stirred for God, and we need to be shook up for God. Moving on with the Lord day after day. Moving with the double potion. Moving with the... Oh, somebody said, "Brother Pike, you don't really believe that you got a double potion, do you?" I tell you what, I think I got a double potion and a triple potion, and I feel like sometimes I got the whole potion. But whatever it is I got, you can define it, you can call it what you want to, but there's something on the inside of me. God gave it to me. And the thing on the inside of me drives me and makes me move day and night, and it doesn't let me stop. There's something about it. I don't know what it is. You know, where it's a double potion, a single potion, or any kind of potion. Well, I know that God's in my heart. I know my heart is burning like a flame. And I know that I desire to tell the word of God. I've seen the time when I say, well, oh, God, folks ain't interested in it. What's the need of me bothering about it? Why get so accelerated? Why get so exuberant? Why get so stirred up? Why do these things? Poor people don't care about God. And that thing burned like a fire on the inside of me. There was nothing I could do about it. You know, like the man of God said, I ain't speaking in that name no more. I'm just going to balk. I'm going to stop. He said, but it was like fire shut up in my bones. And like the song that they sang here the other night, the song I wrote, when I decided that, I felt something burning like fire on the inside of me. I said, my God, I can't sit still. I'm miserable. Lord, I don't know what to do. I said, God, it's like fire. It's shut up in my bones. I can't stop this burning.
And out again I went, and all around I went. And, you know, they said I dragged my little old wife and children from here to there. But hallelujah, we was happy. We was happy. I'm still dragging them around. But you know what? We're happy. We're happy. We're having a good time. Glory to God. I hope she's having a good time. I guess she is. She always said she was having a good time. I'm having a good time. I'm having a good time, Brother Taylor. Glory to God. I'm having a good time. You might not be having a good time with your salvation, but I'm having a good time. This thing got a hold of me, and I got a hold of it, and we got a hold of each other, and I'm having a good time in God. So I like to preach. I love to tell about God. I love to just stand and talk. I love to teach. I love to scream. I love to holler. I love to shout. I love to preach the Word of God. Having a good time. Here was Elisha, the man with the double portion. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? What it would be like to have a double portion? Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, surely you wouldn't be so foolish as to think that you got a double portion. Oh, brother, let me tell you something. I got more than a double portion. I got more than my part. Today, instead of a potion or a double potion, I got the Holy Ghost here, and there is a greater than Elisha here today. There's a greater than Solomon here today. I've got the Holy Ghost. I'm a son of God. I've got the potion today. Amen. I got God dwelling on the inside of me. I got God on the inside of the temple. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, Elisha had God. Elisha had the Holy Ghost. You can't prove to me that Elisha had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Elisha didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and neither did Elijah. But, brother, I got it. I got it. I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I got God at home in this temple. I got God walking and talking with me. Hallelujah. God's on the inside of me. God's directing my life. Wherever I go, God is with me. Hallelujah. You should be excited. If you're not excited, there's something wrong with you. If you don't get excited, you haven't got what I got. There's something on the inside of me that every time I think, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, I feel so good. God, I feel so good. I feel on the inside so good. God, I feel so good. You say, why do you get so excited, Brother Pike? Because that's the way I am. You know, that's the way I am. I try to keep it down as much as I can. You know, and I get away from my wife and I try not to act. You know, I get away and I think, Lord, I better get away. I'm going to bawl like a baby. And I get in there and I shut the door, and Betty don't know nothing about it. I guess she don't. Sometimes I think maybe she does. But anyway, I get in there and I shut the door. And I just cry and I cry. And I don't know why I'm crying. I'm just crying. And I'm feeling so good. The blessings of God just pouring out on me. I'm just feeling so good. I'm just a bawling and a crying, you know. I think, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. You know, and it just makes me feel so good. It relaxes me. It gives me the freedom that I want. What I don't understand is, you know, now you go down to the ball game and you holler and you kick and you shout and you run. Why does it seem to be a strange thing that the pastor should do that? Or that I should get excited? If you get excited over a little old worldly ball game, over a little old nothing, why does it seem strange that the preacher should get excited? You know, I get excited because I love the Lord most of the time. I try to approach the thing with real calmness. I try to talk to you with real calmness. I try, and you know, in nights like this, if you're ever going to be calm, you need to be calm on a time like this. On a hot day like this, you don't need to get excited. You know, the doctor, he'd say, now, Mr. Pike, calm down. Don't you get excited now. It's too hot to do that. But glory to God, I just get the more excited. Every time I think about it, I can't help if I melt down like a candle. I'm excited. I can't help it. I love the Lord. I love the Word of God. I love to preach the Word of God. I love to travel throughout the land. I love to tell people about Jesus. I love to come here to the church and tell you how much I love the Lord. I love to get into the deep mysteries of God and into the revelation of Christ. Paul said, I'm a preacher and a teacher. I love to get into those things. I love to preach. But I love to get into those deep mysteries and just feed off of the wonderful knowledge of God. I love to do that, but I can't help it if I get excited sometimes. So then here's the great and the mighty prophet. He comes back over the Jordan. See, these people didn't go over the Jordan. Remember that now. They just stood there. And they was looking out over that Jordan, and they saw all of those things. But they didn't go over the Jordan. They just saw all of these things. And they looked, and when Elisha came back, they fell down on their face, and they said,
The spirit that rested upon Elijah is resting on Elisha.
See, that same spirit was there. That same spirit. You know, we ought to really be doing something for God, folks. The problem today, the difference is that though they had such little bit, and we've got such great, mighty thing from God, there's a difference. You say, what is the difference, Brother Platt? The Bible said, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. So then I say, Brother Pike, or Brother Taylor, I say, now, what you need to do is contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Brother Taylor says, praise God, I got to get that faith that Peter had, I got to get that faith that Paul had. But see, that wasn't what it was. It was Peter and Paul that was saying, contend for that faith that Elijah had. Contend for that faith that Joshua had. Contend for that faith that Moses had. See, that was the difference. It wasn't the measure of the Spirit, because you've got God Himself in you. And Elijah, the Bible said that John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. And you, the very least of you, you're greater than that Elijah. You're greater than John the Baptist, and there's none greater. No, none of them, not Abraham and none of them, wasn't greater than John the Baptist. Said, but nevertheless, you, the least one of you that's in the kingdom, you're greater. See, because you got God Himself on the inside. You got Christ Himself on the inside. The babe has been born in your heart. Paul said, I travail to Christ be formed within you. So then, you have the power of God on the inside. You have the knowledge of God on the inside. There is Elisha. There's Elijah. But you've got the very Christ Himself on the inside. See, but what is the difference? Why don't you come out and be like Elijah? Why don't you come out and be like Moses? Why don't you come out and be like Joshua? Have you ever commanded the heavens? You ever tried to command the heavens? Have you ever asked God trying to command the heavens and have the heavens to obey Him? Like we're standing over the mall today, and while the ladies was doing a little shopping in there, me and Bob and Jerry and Gary, we walked over to the door, and Gary said, was talking about that water. I mean, it was pouring out like He's pouring it out by the buckets. And I said, praise God, God answers prayer. They said it's the driest time that Georgia had. I said, but it doesn't make any difference. God is going to make it pour down. And there it was, folks, the wind was blowing and it was pouring down. Rain was pouring out of the heavens. Have you ever tried to command the heavens? I said to God, I said, I don't care if it's dry, it doesn't make any difference. God, it's going to rain, and it's going to rain, and it's going to rain, and it's going to rain. And folks, it's been raining ever since. Down in Mexico, I said, they said, there ain't no rain inside, ain't no water. I said, I don't care, it's going to rain, folks. It's going to rain, it's going to rain. Hallelujah, and it poured down. Have you ever tried to command the heavens? God will listen to you. I've seen the time when the tornado was there. I've seen the time when the storm was there. I've seen the time when the twisters was there. And I cried to God and I said, in the name of Jesus, God will stop it. God will change it. And away it went like that. A few days ago, we got a letter out of Florida down there, and they said the fire is just raging everywhere. Said it's just moving and devouring the homes. And the sister said, pray, because it's coming up to our place. And I prayed to God and I said, God, it'll stop in the name of Jesus. It'll stop. And all of a sudden it stopped, and the sister wrote a letter and said, praise God, tell him everything's all right. Said it got so close and it turned and went another way. Somebody say hallelujah. You ever called on Jesus? You ever asked God for anything? You ever been in a fix to where you had to ask God? You ever been stranded in the desert? You ever been stranded in the mountains? You ever been in a place to where you had to call on God? A matter of life and death. Folks, if you've never called on God, you need to call on God. God wants you to ask Him for something. The Bible said, ask that your blessings, your glories might be filled. Call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody said, praise the Lord. God heals cancer. God heals the lame. God makes whole if we believe. The only difference is we have to contend for the faith. We have to take that outlook that we have whatsoever we say. We've got to look unto God. We've got to believe. You know, we say, oh my God, there ain't no need of me telling the heavens nothing. My, when it comes to the heavens, I got enough sense that I know I can't do that. Well, I praise God, I got enough sense to know I can do that.
Praise God.
Somebody said, well, ain't no difference between me and you, Brother Pike. Oh, yes, there is.
If you don't believe, then it's a difference, because I do believe. He said, well, the great man Elijah, I know he was great, he was mighty, I agree with that. But see, the Bible said that these people over here in this day said that Elijah was a man of like passion, the same as you and I. The Bible said Jesus was a man just like you and I. Peter was a man just like you and I. Moses was a man just like you and I. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Those people were just like you and I, folks. They were just like you and I. What was the difference, Brother Pike? They just believed, that's all. Oh, no. Somebody said it was, them men was better than you and I. They were more holy than you and I, Brother Pike. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Somebody said, you mean to tell me that you don't believe faithful Abraham was more righteous than you, Brother Pike? I mean to tell you that I don't believe it. You mean to tell me you feel equal to Elijah? Glory to God, I feel farther ahead than Elijah. Hallelujah. You mean to tell me you think you're as holy as Elijah? A lot more holy than Elijah. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
God, what kind of man are you, Brother Pike? I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible said the least one of them is greater than Elijah. You mean to tell me that you believe you're greater than Elijah, Brother Pike? I'm only preaching the Word of God. What did the Word of God say? It said you're greater than Elijah. One of you folks that's greater than Elijah, stand up and let me take a look at you. Praise God. Somebody believes what I'm preaching. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, why are you standing up? If you really believe that, say hallelujah. Somebody say, well, you'll hurt Elijah's feelings, Brother Pike. Oh, Elijah, if he's looking down, he'd say, glory to God. Look at him, folks, filled with the Holy Ghost out there. That's what I work for. That's what I preach for. That's what I was pointing to. You know, and old Elijah, he stood up there on the mountain with Jesus. He stood right there close to him, you know, in glory. Moses standing on one side and Elijah standing on the other side. Isn't that something? Somebody said, oh my God, if I could have just appeared in glory with them, Brother Pike. Brethren, let me tell you something. I'm in a greater place than that. Hallelujah. I'm not standing with Jesus. I got God on the inside of me. Me and my Father are one. Christ is on the inside of me. I'm not standing here rubbing elbows with Jesus. I got Christ inside of me, and me and my Father are one. Hallelujah. Elijah just loved to have Christ on the inside of him. Moses would have just loved to have had Christ on the inside of him. But they couldn't do it because he was not yet given. See, the Holy Ghost, which is Christ, had not yet been given. Even Enoch translated by faith, and the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. Hallelujah, you can sit down. So then, what should we do? We should believe with all of our heart. We should go forth with all of our faith in God. And we should stand like men and women ought to stand as the mighty tabernacle of God in the earth, as the mighty body of God in the earth, as this great glory that excels, having the revelation of the Son of God and having our minds open, beholding as one would with open face and that glance looking in the face of Jesus and being changed from glory to glory, not a veil between me and Christ, not a veil between us. When Rebekah went into that secret chamber, Isaac just reached over and pulled the veil up and took a peek. Hallelujah. You know, he wanted to see her face. He wanted to see what he married. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you mean you think God's going to marry us and not take a look at us? Well, I'll tell you, if he took a look, he'd never marry us. Hallelujah. I think that's the only way he could afford to. But you know, he don't have to worry. He don't have to worry. You know why Isaac wasn't worried? Isaac had faith in Father Abraham.
Amen.
Somebody say, praise the Lord. He had that faith. Glory to God. He had that faith. He wasn't worried. He knew that Abraham walked with God. He wasn't worried. When you got a pastor that walks with God, when you got a brother that walks with God, you're not worried. You can take his hand. Them boys that was on the ship when the wind was blowing and the waves boisterous, they wasn't worried. They knew Jesus could handle the situation. See, Isaac wasn't worried. Isn't that right? Isaac wasn't worried. If Father Abraham sent after that bride and he sent Eliezer after that bride, he knew the one that come back was the right one. And he knew she had to be pretty. You know, he knew she had to be the one. And he couldn't hardly wait to get a look at her face. And there in that chamber, see, Jesus isn't worried. Jesus said, Father, I've not lost the one of them that you give me. Every one that you give me, I'll raise them up in the last day. Jesus is not worried about them being unbecoming, because God has run every one of them through His blood. And God has made every one of them one with Him. And God has beautified them, the meek, with salvation. And Jesus isn't worried about that bride. He knows she's a pretty thing. He's just interested in the day when the veil is gone. And folks, I know that we're waiting for the veil to be taken away when He comes to the intellect out in the world. But when He comes to you and I, the veil is gone. We've entered into the secret chambers. We're walking with Christ. Christ is looking upon our face, and we're looking upon His face. And we're seeing Him face to face. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Walking face to face, seeing face to face, going on with God. So then, where am I at? Not like Elijah. Where am I at then? I ain't like Elijah. I ain't like Elisha. Because Elijah and Elisha was down there in the earth. So they was running around down there in the earth. Isn't that right? And they were there in the earth. Somebody said, well, where in the name of reason you think you at? I'm up here in heaven. I'm up here in heaven. That man child was caught up to the throne as soon as he was born. I've been born. How have you been born? The Bible speaks of being born again. I've been born, folks. I'm up there in them heavens. I'm around up there in that heaven. I'm having a good time. Hallelujah. I'm rejoicing forevermore. Praise God. If I decide to want some on the earth, I just say, that's the way it's going to be, and that's the way it is. Oh, Brother Pike, that's the way it is, folks. So then, we think about that wonderful thing of God, like the vision I had where that come on the inside of me and said, son, from now on, you have to be careful. You know, I didn't say it in those words, but from now on, you have to be careful. See, whoever you bless will be blessed. Whoever you curse will be cursed. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in the earth. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in the earth. You know, that is to loose in heaven, to bind in heaven. Whatever you do, whatever you say. And so then, we're walking with the Lord. We're talking with the Lord. What are we? We're children of God. We're sons of God. We own this thing, folks. Somebody says, oh, Brother Pike, you get us all excited and you make it sound real good, and then we have to go back to eat our beans and bread. God bless your little heart. Hallelujah. While you eat your beans and bread, I'll eat some steak. Hallelujah. We'll all walk along together. So I said, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, Vince brought me a whole bunch of steak the other day. My refrigerator a few days back, Jimmy brought me a whole bunch of steak and filled my refrigerator up. And then here come Vince, he brings me a whole bunch of steak and he fills my refrigerator up. And then here comes Brother Richard and he brings me a whole bunch of steak and he fills my refrigerator up. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you're just lucky. You're lucky. But did you know when me and Betty was out on the field and we didn't have a dime to our name, God moved us over here to somebody to run a revival, put us out here in a schoolhouse building. It just so happened out there in the hallway was a freezer and it was full of steak. I mean full of steak. And we enjoyed steak. So then that means that we can have whatever we want. I don't care that much for steak, you know. I'd rather have a piece of strychnine a lot of times. But nevertheless, God will give you whatever you want. You know, country boys, they can't get away from their appetite anyway. What they're brought up with. But I think about that. Folks, why should we nibble when we're in green pastures and the grass, as we say, is up to the knees? Why should we go about and nibble? Why not eat? Like Brother Branham said one time, he said, folks, you know, like fish, like a little fish in the ocean, and he's afraid to take a drink because he's afraid he's going to drink up all the water. See, that's the way it is. We're caught out here in the middle of God. See, God is from everlasting to everlasting. He is a reservoir that the supply is never exhausted. You know, somebody said, well, I don't want to use it all up, Brother Pike. I like to save some for somebody else. Well, I just love to use all I can. Hallelujah. He said, just drink freely. And I don't worry about nobody else. They got plenty of it too. There's enough for all of us. So I just have me a good time, you know, and I'm just doing what I want to whenever I get ready. Having what I want to. Somebody said, well, are you having what you want to? I've had just what I wanted. Just what I wanted. As a matter of fact, I done had too much. You know, he not only gives me what I want, but he makes my cup run over.
See, not really too much that everybody else can get a drink and they can share in it.
But I'm just happy over the situation. I like the way it is, and I don't care nothing about changing it around. It's like this water. See, it pours out, and I pour it back in. It pours out, and I pour it back in. But it's so good while I'm pouring it back in. Tastes so good. I know you folks get upset at me. A lot of times you look up here, and I'm drinking water, and it's pouring out. Pouring out of you, you know, and you think, get him pouring it in up there. You know, we said, we ain't got no water. Hallelujah. You can have some water, too. Got a whole well around there.
Praise God.
See, I just brought my water with me. You say, how did you do that? You didn't put that water up here. I know, but my faith put it up here. Lord knows I like to drink water. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad you're Christian? Bible said the rich man in hell looked up and just wanted one drop of water. Just one drop of water. Well, I love you. Jesus loves you. And this morning, that's what I was trying to tell you about. I'd like for you to stand with me. A lot of things I'd like to say, because I get excited. I don't care about stopping. Oh, somebody said, you'll give out, Brother Pike. Well, I probably will, but I ain't done it yet. I feel like I could go for another hour, at least another hour. Don't get scared now. I'm going to stop. I don't quit because I give out and can't preach. I give out. I quit because you give out and can't listen. Time a preacher gets about where I am right here, he's just getting ready to preach. We got any prayer clause? They want some prayer clause, Brother Taylor. Need to pray over this oil. Let's pray together. Maybe we'll use some of this oil to anoint the prayer clause. I don't think folks like it too good. They give me oil, and I don't know if it's their oil, and I take a little swig of it. And I go to pray over the prayer clause, and if it's available, I use a little bit of it. And I hope they'll forgive me because I don't mean to do that. You know, when a fella steals, he usually don't steal while you're watching him, so I'm not really stealing. I'm sharing with you. Some folks go around to Brother Jerry Lambert, and they say, Jerry, lend me 50. I want to share with you. Let's sing a verse there while Brother Taylor's playing it. A song that we wrote a long time ago. I probably can't remember it, but Frank can. Can we sing it together? It's like fire in my bosom. It's like fire in my bosom. It's like fire in my bosom. And it's shut up in my bones. I'm gonna sing it. I'm gonna shout it. I'm gonna tell the world about it. It's like fire in my bosom, and it's shut up. Can you raise it just a little bit, Brother Taylor? Let's get it up just a little bit high. It's like fire in my bosom. It's like fire in my bosom. It's like fire in my bosom, and it's shut up in my bones. I'm gonna sing and I'm gonna shout it. I'm gonna tell the world about it. It's like fire down in my bosom, and it's shut up. Sing it again. It's like fire in my bosom. It's like fire in my bosom. It's like fire down in my bosom, and it's shut up in my bones. I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout it. I'm gonna tell the world about it. It's like fire down in my bosom, and it's shut up. And sing it one more time. It's like fire down in my bosom. It's like fire down in my bosom. It's like fire down in my bosom and it shut up in my bones. I'm gonna sing it. I'm gonna shout it. I'm gonna tell the world about it. It's like fire in my... Can you sing it again? My bosom, it's like fire in my bosom, and it's shut up in my bones. I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout it, I'm gonna tell the world about it. It's like fire in my bosom, and it's shut up in my bones. One more time, it's like fire in my bosom. It's like fire in my bosom. It's like fire in my bosom, and it's shut up in my bones. I'm gonna sing and I'm gonna shout it. I'm gonna tell the world about it. It's like fire down in my bosom, and it's shut up in my bones. I tried to anoint all these right here as best I could. Got so many of them here to. While we're praying, we're going to pray over this oil too. And I want you to stretch out your hands with me. Now, I tell you what I want you to do, folks. After the sermon this morning, after you heard the sermon, now you know how to believe. You know, some folks don't know how to believe. I told you I was going to bring out a few of the secrets of believing. And I have. I brought out some of them. Some more of them I'd like to bring out. But some of these things are beautiful. Because if you learn how to believe, that means you can have anything you want and be translated into the celestial world. Bob's little baby, his little baby, I don't even know what they named it, I don't think. But anyway, his little baby going on to meet Jesus like it did. That little baby had to do with that change. Paul said his body's terrestrial, his body's celestial. And they buried that little one out there in a little place that's called the celestial. And it had to do with a great thing. We hadn't commented much on it because I hadn't said too much about it until after I talked to Bob today. I saw a picture of the little thing. And I don't like to... You know, I don't like to open wounds and hurt people and those kind of things because you get hurt and cut to your heart when you lose a loved one, and some people don't want to talk about it. But anyway, it had a great meaning. I'd like for you to look in this direction. Now, you know how to believe to change your bodies, to go into the heavenlies, to make contact with angels like Paul did. See, when you learn about the Lord and how much He loves you and what He's appropriated for you and how to approach the throne boldly and no doubt. See, now listen. The Bible said that if you want something from God, remember, listen close now. The Bible said, give the more earnest heed to the things you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip, and take heed how that you hear. See, remember, listen close to what I'm saying. The Bible said that if you want anything from God, are you listening? Then you must ask in faith. It said nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. Won't do you no good to pray. Won't do you no good to ask. If you're going to waver, when you ask, you might as well forget about it. See, it won't do no good. It won't do one bit of good. But remember what I'm saying now. If you want something from God, ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now let me tell you this. You're not going to be able to do that. Are you listening to me? Ain't no need of you trying. You ain't going to be able to do that. I don't care if you ask in faith. You're going to waver. Unless you know the mind of God and the will of God and the promises of God and the security of God and God's feeling toward you. But folks, do you realize that when you come to know these things that we talked about this morning, that it's not possible for you to waver if you really mean business with God? Because what is there to waver over? You know, what is there to waver over? If I take $50 and I let you get a hold of one end of it, I say, look, this is for you. This is for you. This is for you. He said, well, I don't know about that. I said, look, I travel clear from the other side of the world to get to you, to give you this. And you know that I travel that far. And you know that I brought it all the way across the world to give it to you. And you know that I'm the type of man that has done that to many people. And now you've been chosen. See, and my integrity is not to be questioned. I've done it so many times. Could you doubt it? Could you doubt it with your hands on it? Could you doubt it? And when I turn it loose and you're standing there with it in your hands, could you doubt it? You couldn't waver, could you? All you could do is believe that it was yours. Now see, this is what the Lord has done. He spilled His blood. He's put it in your hands. He said, all things are yours. Now there it is. See, and if you know that for sure, you know His love for sure, you know that He went to that great extent for you to have it, how can you waver? See, it's yours, the confidence. It's yours. Now, if you stagger, stumble, make no effort toward God, don't try to prepare your heart toward God, you ain't going to be able to believe. But if you're trying to do your best just as a normal Christian, just as the average person, and then you know these things, you ain't going to waver. Because you're going to think with a full assurance. My God. The Bible said Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being persuaded that what God had promised he was able also to perform. He come with a full confidence. See, and here I stand with a full confidence in God. I'm not going to waver. Why should I waver? I don't have any wavering in my heart and mind. I don't have no doubts. I don't have nothing to wonder about. I don't have nothing to listen to. He said it, I believe it, that settles it. See, and I am positive that what He said He can do. And I'm positive that what He said He is going to change. See, it's there. Now listen, Paul said all of the promises. He said, I didn't preach to you yea and nay. He said, when I come to you, I didn't preach the word of God to you yea and nay. He said, I preached the word of God to you yea and amen. Yea and amen. Is that right? Not yea and nay. That is, it might happen or it could happen or maybe it isn't for you or whatever. You know, He said it's yea and amen. I told you that's the way it was. Ain't no question about it. So see, why should I waver? I can ask in faith nothing wavering. And I'm going to get what I ask for. I'm going to get what I ask for. You know why? Because I ain't going to waver. Why should I waver? I ain't got no questions in my mind about it. What makes a person waver is doubt, questions in your mind. But if I know what God said, if I know what God's doing, I know what God promised, then why should I have anything that would make me waver? Folks, this is getting on close to home now. Hallelujah. I tell you, when you get to understand the way that I understand and believe the things that I believe and know the things that I know, you're getting on close to the homeland. Praise God, ain't no need to waver. Ain't no place to waver. And when you don't waver, things start happening. Things start happening. When you get to where you ask and you don't waver, things start happening. Ain't nothing can stop it. Things start happening. Hallelujah. So look up here. Lift up your hands toward me now. I want you to believe. I don't want you to waver now. We're getting good reports. People are being healed of cancer. People are being healed of diseases. My wife's sister came up today. She was dying a few days ago. Prayed for her. She come up healthy and strong today. She's feeling good. You know, so now let's lift our hands up to God. Let's look up here and let's believe. And when you ask God to heal people, the Bible said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. There's no reason why you can't pray the prayer of faith because you don't need to waver. You know all about it. Now you don't need to waver. So you pray the prayer of faith. You take it on yourself as an individual concern that you must intercede for God and for the people. And you pray for the people now. You pray that God will grant repentance unto them that are without. And you pray for the people tonight. You pray that God's going to heal tonight. You believe with all your heart now, as I believe with you. God's for us. God's with us. God wants to heal. God is pressing till the blood's coming out of his veins. The song said, and his blood veins were bursting. And he's pressing to get to that sick one. He's pressing to get to that needy one. He's pressing to get to that lost one. He's pressing to heal your body, to supply your needs, to give you the power that you desire in your life, to give you that overcoming power, to give you that spirit, to fill you with the Holy Ghost. God is pressing till his blood veins are bursting, trying to get to you. Open up now, let him in, folks. Open up and let him in. Turn your faith over into the hands of God. Let it go free. Turn it loose to God. Get on out there. Let it go. Turn it loose. Get it away from the bondage of your reasoning. Just believe what God said. Okay, lift up your hands and let's pray together. Now, I feel the quickening of the Lord. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of the Son of God, I lay my hands on these prayer cloths in the behalf of the people. God, in the behalf of them that are sick, in the behalf of my brothers and sisters that's believing, in the behalf of the righteousness of the Son of God, I ask in the name of him, Father, Lord, who is righteous, that one that's holy, that one that has no sin. I ask for the forgiveness of my sins. I ask for the forgiveness of my audience, my listening audience. I ask for the forgiveness of them to whom these prayer cloths will go. I ask you to forgive their sins. I feel the anointing. I feel the name of Jesus coming into power, Father. And Lord, I ask you to anoint these cloths. Hear from heaven, O God, and anoint these cloths. Father, anoint these listening ears. Anoint these people. Stretch forth your hand to heal around the world, Jesus. And let the power of God be here. I ask you, God, that everyone that hears my voice, break that yoke. Heal that body. Give me a good report, Father. I feel you healing. To everyone that's listening, Father, I feel you healing. Great and mighty things, Father, you're giving to the church. Open up their minds and let them receive the mighty revelation of God. And let the power of God sweep around the world, Father. Let there be a great revival and an awakening of the spirit of mankind, Father. I ask you to do it in the lovely name of your darling Son, Jesus. By his righteousness, my Father. In Jesus Christ's name, I ask it. Amen. Praise God. I know God did it. I know God did it. Now, let me ask you, now, before I give you a prayer cloth, just get one prayer cloth per person, okay? And then when everybody gets one, if there's some more, then we will let the others have them. Just one a person. Don't get more than one, okay? Okay, work with Brother Pike. You can reach over here and get them. It's okay. Just don't get but one, whatever. That's all. Okay, one for somebody else. Okay, you can get two if you're getting one for another person. Okay. If you want one to send to somebody, you can do that. Okay. These prayer cloths really work, folks. There's no make-believe about this thing. The Bible said that there went out aprons from Paul's body, and God did special miracles. Uh-huh. Okay, that's all of them, folks. That's all I got. Wished I had enough for everybody. I'm sorry, Betty. They didn't last. See what happens? Even if you want it, you can't get it if you don't get in there like the little woman. See, she was the one that asked for it and didn't even get them. Okay, now maybe he brought these to you. Is that right? For the male? Huh? Okay. Here's two for the male. We will pray over some for the male. There's people that's asking for prayer cloths, and we want to get them out there to them. But you need to get these prayer cloths.
We need to pray over more. We need to make some more prayer calls, Brother Taylor. A lot of people. You got some more down here? Well, I tell you what, if we got some more, it's a little hot, but if you'll take a minute, you got some more, we'll pray the second time here over some. There's so many people that want them. Now, you might not understand it, but this is the truth. There are people that get healed of cancer, heart trouble, all kind of things because of prayer clause. And these things are just like tracks. You remember how Sister Anna got healed from a track? And I prayed over our tracks that when they go out that they'll heal people. And over in Africa, we've got letters from Africa and India and different places. And they said, Brother Pike, it's absolutely a fact that people have been healed that were seriously ill. Things wrong with them. And said they've been healed from these tracks. See, God is a healing God. The Bible said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. You know, it's sad to say, some people, the only signs that ever follow them is the kind they tack on a telephone post or put up on a billboard. But if you really follow God and you really preach the gospel, you really tell the truth, signs will follow your ministry. Real, genuine signs will follow your ministry. And God will heal. Now, it's like I said today, a lot of times the person may not get healed because the devil talks them out of their healing. You know, and they get the idea that God doesn't mean for everybody to be healed. But it's by the same token as God saves. The Bible said, it's not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. All of them don't get saved. But that's not because it isn't the will of God. Just because you don't get your healing, that don't mean it wasn't the will of God for you to get your healing. See, it's all based on faith. God wants you to be healed. He wants you to walk. He wants you to get up and go. He wants you to be completely made whole. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I feel like if he wanted that, then he'd just make everybody well. No, that isn't right. See, if you look at it like that, you're going to get all mixed up. Because you've got to remember that God wants everybody healed, and God wants everybody saved, and God healed everybody at Calvary, and God saved everybody at Calvary, and then he put it on a basis of sovereignty that if a person don't believe it, then they don't get it. Because he did it, he wants everybody healed. He wants everybody saved. Now, your salvation, he said, prosper according as your soul prospers. If you really want true prosperity, true healing, true deliverance, then that means your spirit's got to prosper. You can't go around eating out of the garbage can and eat from the table of devils and eat from the table of God, have the good things of God. You can't do that. Even though God is allowing it for the moment, in the sense of the grace of God and the rain on the just and the unjust, that isn't God's plan. See, the devil is a thief and a robber. He's coming in stealing those blessings, stealing those things. And God knows he's stealing, but God's just letting it go on until he can bring an end to the whole thing. And then you'll see how he feels about Satan. That's where your lying signs and wonders come in. If Satan steals those things, and it looks like that God wanted it that way. God's merciful enough that he wants the human being to get out of suffering, but knowing that they're wicked and that they're going to live to hurt somebody else, God isn't for that, not at all. So, I want you to pray with me. I'm praying for people. We should pray for all mankind. Pray for kings. Pray for leaders. Pray for the priest of the world. Pray for the kings of the earth. Pray for all people, rich, poor, everybody, pray for them. See that God will grant repentance unto life unto them. That's our job as an intercessor. And we need to minister healing to the people. It's not up to you and I to wonder whether God's going to heal them or ain't going to heal them. That's not our business. Our business is to do what he told us to do, and that's pray. It's up to God to do the healing. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. See, you need to quit wondering about whether God's going to heal or
whether you've got the faith, whether this is right, or whether he's right or she's right or they're right. The rain comes on the just and the unjust. You just pray. If there's faith there, then God purifies the heart by faith. And that is the righteousness of man. So you don't wonder whether or not he fits your program or your discipline or what your church teaches. See, if I went in the hospital and I prayed for people like that, I would never know nothing. You know, because I don't know what kind of religion they are, what kind of church they belong to. See, Jesus didn't ask nothing about that. All he required was faith, because faith purifies the heart, and faith is the righteousness of God. So if you can believe, that means something's in your life. If you can't, that means you got problems. All right, one more time. Let's stand together, folks, and let's pray. Now, I'm going to pray over these. And while I'm praying, I want you to stretch your hands out with me. Because when I pray, folks, I pray honest and sincerely from the bottom of my soul. I pray to God. And you folks are getting to where you can pray the prayer of faith. See, man or woman, you're getting where you... I can tell it. I can feel the power of it. And I can feel the unification. See, you want God to use you. And I can feel you praying the prayer of faith. And maybe some little baby that will be breathing its last breath. Like, you know, you'll be looking upon it. I've seen them breathe their last breath. I've seen people die, and I've held their hands, you know, when they take their last breath and die. And I've seen people when God raised them up from the deathbed, when doctors said they couldn't get up, God raised them up anyway. Now, so I want you to pray with me. I'm praying sincerely. I know that you pray like I do. I don't just pray here. I pray to God over in the morning. You know, sometimes it's daylight when I get up off my knees. Like yesterday was it, just recently. I got up off my knees and I looked, it was already daylight. See, and sometimes praying and talking to God, you know, you have to do that because you've got a lot of things to be taken care of during the day, preaching and talking to different ones. So then you just have to do the best you can. And when I'm praying here, I'm praying with you with all of my heart, because I believe God's going to heal folks. I believe I'm going to get a good report. The Bible said the elders received a good report by faith. And you that are here in the atmosphere of this praying with the saints of God, so you believe for your healing. Don't wonder about your healing. Don't wonder if you're good enough. Don't wonder whether God meets you or not. God said, what I say to one, I say to all. You just believe. That's all you got to do. And you'll feel something taking hold to you, and you'll feel healing in your body, and you'll feel something. You'll say, my God, I feel like that little woman over there. If I don't watch out, I'll be preaching again. All right, so let's just pray together. Just put your hands out here, and let's pray together while I'm feeling faith now. Let's just pray together and let's ask God tonight to do something, okay? Hallelujah. Love the Lord. Come on up here, Jerry, if you want to get one of the prayer cloths right here. All right, now we're going to pray together. Let's pray. Put your hands out this way now. And let's pray together. While we're praying, Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your love and for the power of God that I feel. If I feel the quickening power that raised up the Son of God from the dead, Lord, my reasoning, I can't listen to that. Your word said it, I believe it. And I want you to heal tonight. Dear God, let these prayer cloths heal tonight. When these prayer cloths go out to the sick and to the suffering, wherever they go through the world, Father, I want people to be healed. I want them to be healed, God. I'm expecting you to heal them, Father. I'm really expecting you to heal them, God. By your power, by your might, I'm expecting you to come into their room, mighty God of heaven, because of what you said concerning your Son and what you said concerning faith, oh God. I'm expecting you to come in there and heal these people. Father, bring them up off of their sick beds. Let them write letters to Bethlehem praising God and praising the saints of God as they pray the prayer of faith, Father. I want you to let this happen all around the different parts of the nation and the different parts of the world. Heal. As I lay my hands upon these cloths, Father, I want you to heal. I've anointed these cloths in the name of your lovely Son, Jesus Christ. by His righteousness, by His sacrifice, by the acknowledgement of God to the Son of God and His glory, Father. I want You to heal, and I want these things to go out to the people, Father. And I want healing. I want miracles. I want those things, Father, to be miraculous. I want some healings coming from God. I want some miracles coming from God. I want the people to read the letters. I want them to hear the testimony. I want them to know that God is real. I want them to know that God is real and that God hears their prayers. Oh God, make this place, Father, a place that'll reach out around the world. That people that look toward the temple, oh God, they'll know that God's in the temple and that God is healing, that people believe in God. I ask You to do it in the name of Jesus tonight, Father. Stretch forth Your healing hand, God, and heal tonight. God, I ask You to heal tonight. Move by Your Spirit, God, and heal tonight. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel the power of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can come up here and get these. Sister Betty, she ain't going to take no chance this time. She's coming. Okay, just reach over there, brother. All right. Sister Betty got the one with the blood on it. Praise God. I wonder if they can get a picture of Sister Betty standing here. Can you get a picture, Don, Jerry, of Sister Betty standing here? She's real concerned, and I tell you what. You can't imagine what she does in helping the different ones. Her letters have brought such great testimonies until it's unreal, folks. As to the healing and salvation, her ministry has been so great till a lot of times it outshines my ministry. Let's pray over the all-Father God of heaven in the wonderful name of Jesus. Lord, You called it holy ground where Moses was standing. Father, You said that's holy ground. And dear God, I ask You to make this all holy, not because of the mineral, Father, or the elements of it, but because Your Son has touched this all, because Your Spirit has touched this all. Father, if You can make my body holy, You can make this all holy. I ask You to heal, God, wherever this all goes, dear wonderful God, whoever this all goes upon, I put my faith to Christ and in the shed blood of the Son of God, asking You to heal. Father, heal by Your Spirit. Father, let the all touch the sick. And oh God, in Your name, heal. Heal, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, heal. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Okay, let's sing a little chorus together. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home. It was that band of angels coming after me. Coming to carry me home. Swing low. Coming to carry me home, swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Well, if You get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot.
coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. I look out yonder, I look through the door, and from here I can see that beautiful fountain. It's just bubbling. You know, it has been running kind of low. Running kind of low because all of the debris and all of the different things, it gets over into the pool and it gets into the little places and it gets into the motor and it chokes the motor down. So Brother Jim and I, we decided to get together and we got a fence and we put this little fence around it. You know, when we put up those little things around the pool, it had to do with the dogs staying out. Are you listening? The time of the Gentiles is over. That's right. And all the mud and all the trash coming into the fountain. Remember the vision I had, the little pool, the goldfish and the different things, and it had to do with the coming of the Lord. Remember that? Yeah. Saw him coming. See, we got that little fence, and I noticed out there this time, it's not drafted. See, it's not choking the motor down and pulling that fountain down. She just full force, going right on. The fountain opened in the house of David. Going to open up these other two little ones around here that has great significance. That has the significance of Christ in the midst of us. The others is to the prophets, the two prophets. And we're going to open those up Monday, the good Lord will. We're going to try to get those started. And then I'm going to ask Brother Kim of some of them, Brother Tommy, whoever worked with me, to immediately get out there and put those little ringlets around those ponds and ask Jim to put that fence around it to where, you know, they can bubble too. In mine, it'll be so wonderful. I look out there and see it, and it really thrills my heart. You love the Lord? Praise God. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilt and stain. Sing it with me. Lose all their guilt and stain. They lose all their guilt and their stain, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilt and stain. Sing it again. Lose all their guilt and their stain. They lose all their guilt and their stain. Hallelujah! And sinners plunge beneath that flood. Lose all their guilt. Can you sing it one more time? Lose all their guilt and their stain. They lose all their guilt and their stain. Hallelujah. Sinners plunge beneath that flood. Lose all. I want to sing that again. While we're singing it, I want you to come to the altar tonight. While we're singing, I see that fountain out there like that. But I know that on the inside of us, there's a fountain that's open, folks. In the house of David, little Bethlehem, it's called the house of bread, the city of David. I had the vision one time, and I heard God said, I need a David. I said, God, I'll be your David. Hallelujah. Wouldn't you like to be God's David tonight? David was a man after God's own heart. Wouldn't you like to be God's David tonight? Lift your hand up if you'd like to be God's David tonight. Hallelujah. Let's sing that again together, can we? Hallelujah. Sing it with me. Lose all their guilt and stain.
And sinners plunge beneath that flood. All their guilt and stain. Sing it again. They lose all their guilt and their stain.